Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
I'm going to talk about growing in God today, but I'm going to take an angle on it that you're probably not going to figure out totally where I'm going. All right? Colossians 2:18 says this. Let no one disqualify you insisting on your asceticism, doggone it, and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments grows with a growth that is from God. The world is offering us a substitute to the pattern God has given. He's saying that there are things that the world can offer you, a way of worshiping, a way of living, that is inconsistent with the pattern that is connected to the head. And if you accept that, you kind of get lost. None of you would think to worship angels, I don't think. But a lot of this scripture is about Oriental mysticism. And people getting into the soulical realm, where there's soul power. There's this thing where young people are now hungry for the supernatural, but they're not trying to go after God based on the word. They want to go based on what they can achieve independent of God. This is not a new spirit. At the Tower of Babel, they weren't praying to God to give them a way into his presence. They were building a tower. And God says there that if he didn't stop them, nothing that they had imagined to do would be held back from it. In other words, there is soul power. There is human power. There is a way that you can make in the spirit realm independent of God. It just doesn't lead you to the will and the purpose of God. It leaves you destitute and lonely. But it does promise you something. And a lot of times we want to grow, but it's on our own terms. It's based on what we can figure out independent on what God has shown us. And we take the things of God and we begin to diminish them as if they didn't give us a quality experience or a quality education because it didn't come as fast as we wanted to pass. To come, and then we begin to pick other patterns and pathways to get the will of God done in our life other than what he's given us to grow, staying connected to the head. Then he says every ligament and joint, they're tied together. So we see that sometimes we're only concerned about our vertical relationship with God as if that's enough. Not good for man to be alone. He's constantly putting us in yoke fellow relationships, knitting us together, calling us a body of Christ, a believers together. But it seems to be if we've got Jesus and we've got our Bible, we're all right. And there's an epidemic going on in our nation. It's an epidemic of loneliness where you can figure it out on your own. You're always by yourself. You watch TV by yourself. You surf the internet by yourself. You watch TV to look at someone else have a romantic relationship instead of being in a romantic relationship. You fantasize through pornography. Anything you can do alone. It's all about how I can reach my objectives or my goals independent of other people, mostly because I don't want to get hurt, or mostly because I don't want to show myself friendly, mostly because I really reject God's way of doing things and being right and actually joining us together. I can grow on my own. Well, God gives you the tools to grow as an individual. A baby comes out with the innate ability to suck and to crave and to desire, but someone's got to be there to fulfill that desire that God put in them. He makes us interdependent upon each other from the very beginning. This loneliness is a real thing. Mother Teresa even spoke about loneliness or an unwanted person is the same as leprosy. That's what she said. And a leper was just a walking dead person. In the book Bowling Alone, They're saying since World War II, there's been a decline in connectedness, and now people's purpose in life centers around self. But self focus and purpose is not enough to hold the attention and the weight of life. So we're breaking simply because we're focused on self. Now, it has to be that God understands these facts as well, and he solved it. And we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. And we're going to begin to look at this relationship Timothy had with his people. And you're going to see a couple of things. That you need family and friends to grow. You need your family and friends. Greatest amount of conflict is with your family. You probably mad at somebody in your family right now. Telling you. And then they don't grow. You don't just grow into this, I'm just growing into a giant friend or a giant friend. You grow with a faith-filled purpose. So you have to grow in faith. And finally, there's a way your life functions as a result of those two factors. Now, let's just look at this. Paul's relationship. Paul, verse 1, because y'all stayed there. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of the Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my true child, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. So you can see that even though we know that Paul is not Timothy's natural father, he begins to speak to him in terms as if they're blood. That God gives you several things to fulfill that family need and that friendship need. You're born with one. Your natural family supplies a great part of it. But then there's a spiritual family that supplies a great part of it. And then there's friendships that supply. But could be you're missing the friendship portion of it because you don't know how to identify your spiritual family. I'm about to correlate those two in just a second here. He says, I urge you then, when I'm going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach. Mm-mm. 2 Timothy 1. I apologize. That's the wrong scripture. 2 Timothy 1. But the good thing is 1 Timothy 1, the first and second chapter is almost the same. As that's why I didn't know to the third verse. I thank God for whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience. I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Stay right there. I love this. Paul is in a real predicament right now. He's in prison. He's maybe a month away from death, and he's writing, of all people, he's writing to Timothy. Not a natural son, but a spiritual son, and he's talking about his faithful service. There's no way to actually say that you're a Christian or you're in spiritual family, and this word service doesn't dominate part of your life. If the only person you served today already was you, something's already amiss. We don't actually wake up to think about how we can serve ourselves. We actually wake up to figure out how we can serve one another or his purposes. And he says, as did my ancestors. It's amazing how he could give some credit to his Jewish brothers and sisters who didn't understand the full measure of the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, but they were at least pointing him in the right direction. See, when it comes to your natural family, it seems to be this tendency to pick out what they don't do right. I'm going to say that again. I'm in the wrong. It seemed like in our natural family, we like to pick out what they don't do right, and it's a difficult thing to find out what they have done right. Because they've done some things wrong, it's okay. What did they do right? Pick that out. And when you never repair the brokenness in your natural family, you actually make it more difficult to relate to people in your spiritual family. Because they're connected. But I see that Paul has a spiritual life. He's talking about a spiritual relationship with Timothy, but he's also respecting his natural ancestry. It is not one versus another. When we say spiritual family, it's not trade in your family for your spiritual family. It's that you need both of these 1-2 punches to be successful in life. He says, I remember you constantly in prayers night and day. If you want to know if you have family, if you want to know if you have friends, is there someone in your life remembering you in prayer? Right. Have you allowed someone close enough to take a prayer burden for you? A lot of people say they have friends, but maybe you don't have as genuine, authentic, or deep a friendship or familiar relationship or spiritual relationship if you don't find that someone's regularly praying for you. So just go ahead and survey your friends. Because you and I don't have time to waste. You have to grow. In order to grow, you've got to be in the right relationships. Because the relationships you are in determine your lid, your cap. I'm not here to boast about any great thing in my life, but if I'm doing something great, look at the great men around me, above me, over me, Steve Merle, Pastor Rice, Pastor Ron, Pastor Jim. They're going someplace always in the world. And they show me that there's still something I can reach for. You grow through the relationships that are around you. Now, we call it discipleship, we call it life groups, but I want to give you some new terminology today that is not against that, but it really helps you appreciate discipleship and life groups and everything, because these people that you do life with become your friends. And if you only are doing a life group or discipleship as a program of the church or a have to for Jesus, then you're missing this point. Was those Jesus disciples like, his employees, or were they his friends that were going on the same mission as him? Something is going wrong when we keep thinking the church is trying to get us to do something. God is trying to give us something significant. Watch this in verse 4. He says, as I remember your tears, who knows you well enough to know what brings you pain? Oh, I've been able to cry with these men. If you can't say that somebody maybe outside of your mama, because you know you might not can cry with dad, but you can cry with mama. Daddy said, just wipe your tears off. You're all right. Said, I remember your tears. I remember your pain. I remember your weakness. I remember your infirmity. And it doesn't make me judge you, get away from you. It makes me, when I'm in my darkest hour, remember you in prayer. Because we're in familial relationship. We're on mission together. It's not a church program, Timothy. I actually love you. I used to ask Pastor Steve Merle all the time, years ago, I said, teach me how to grow this church. And his question was, how's baby James doing? I said, he's good. He's doing this for us. I said, teach me how to grow my church. He said, hey, tell me something about Jackson. Okay, Jack, good. He's the baby of the family. It's great. I said, teach me how to, so what are you doing this time? Said, okay, tell me about you. I said, Pastor Steve, I just want to know how to grow the church. Be a good family member. Nothing disqualifies you or nothing qualifies you for leadership more than how you love and serve your family, remembering their pain and their tears. And then, he showed up at my kids, games. Well, he didn't do that because he's the global president. Don't do that. Let me go. I'm going to go disciple James. Disciple my little guy. Discipleship is relationship and friendship. I bet you Jesus never made those disciples feel less than. I bet he made them feel like they could change the world. I long to see you that I might be filled with joy. The relationship should be joyful. Now, it can't just be relationship for relationship's sake. Just doing something. Let's just go hoop together. Let's just go coffee together. What makes our relationship spiritual is the Christ-centeredness of them. Not in a weird way where you feel like you're walking with somebody and you better throw Christ in it just so you can call it by the right title. That means we walk with Christ in such a way that when we're actually walking horizontally with other people, they're entering into our spiritual walk with Christ because we're connected to the head, remember the first scripture? And yet we're connected and joined with each other. So here's what that looks like. Verse 5 says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelled. You know, when a faith dwells in you, that means you don't live with it one day and not the next. That means you're not saved today and lost tomorrow. When a faith dwells in you, that means at some point somebody dug down deep and laid a foundation of Jesus Christ and they built up a spiritual house. When you develop yourself to that degree, you've got something that you can do that's in this scripture. If it first dwells in your grandmother Lois, then she can take that authentic faith, that genuine faith, and hand it to Eunice as an inheritance. What are you handing your children? Because whatever you hand in them is the only inheritance they have to hand down to the next set. Timothy got something of great quality. Though we also know as he had strong faith, he also, we can see that his weaknesses, and we can look at his family structure. Look at how the Bible, there's nothing wrong with women, but look at how women were the dominant force in his life. His father was a Greek. We would say that he was a non-believer. So while he got what he needed by faith from this set of women, he yet needed something else that God was supplying through spiritual family. Okay, y'all not understanding the Bible. Spiritual family is filling in the natural gap that was left in Timothy's life because his daddy could only take him so far. His daddy couldn't reinforce what Eunice said and what Lois said because they were connected to the head. They had authentic faith. Paul, well, watch this. You want to know what Paul did for sin? You want to find yourself in spiritual family? I wasn't even going to go to this scripture. Doggone it. I'm sorry. God, this is silly. And don't laugh because it's that big. 2 Timothy 3. Look at how Mount Paul talks about, this is so stupid, this is giant. Verse 10, he says, you, however, have followed my teachings, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch. Verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ must suffer persecution. In other words, this Timothy is not just living out the faith of his natural family, but he is living out the faith of his spiritual family. Let me make it real deep. I would have never went to Africa if Pastor Steve didn't say, you need to go. I would have never went to Korea if Pastor Ron didn't say, you need to go. I would have never went to the field. all of these people, and I not only imitate the faith of my mother to get me out of every situation and circumstance with my basic faith, I have spiritual fathers who then say, look, you've got a different aim. You have the same aim as me. You have the same goal as me. And if you stay around me and you stay undercover, I can help you grow. So what are we rejecting? Why aren't we growing? Because if your growth is solely dependent on you, you're going to miss something. Okay. My last little point, as I'm up here, don't make sense to the little title I gave it, so I ain't even going to say it. So verse 6. For I've been in the Word and Spirit conference, and my word didn't line up with my spirit there. So I just let that go. That's how I insult the scripture. For this reason, verse 6, I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on the hands. For God gave us not the spirit of fear, but love, power, self-control. Somebody in your life has to be able to tell you what to do. I know you've grown, and it's difficult to give up that kind of authority. Fan into flame the gift. Somebody's got to look at you and call you out and call you up and upgrade you and remind you you had a prophetic word. I didn't never say I was a prophet. The first guy that I ever discipled me, a guy named Larson, said, you are a prophet. The next guy, Ronald Wyman, said, you are a prophet. Then I come all the way here. Pastor Jim LaFoon said, you are a prophet. Then Pastor Rice said, you're a prophet. Then Pastor Steve just took me to Africa and said, you need to prophesy. That didn't just happen because I was alone. Somebody helped me grow. What are you rejecting? Somebody's got to remember the day someone laid hands on you. Somebody's got to remember when the mantle was put on you. I would go into another nation because Pastor Rice goes to other nations. And that's what I mean. You're going to go to other places because that's what's on you as a church. That's our assignment. And if you might be, you can't run. Nobody just chooses to be places. You got to understand, God's more smart than we think. He drew you here. I'm not smart enough to land in Bethel. I was rejecting Bethel. Sitting in the back row laughing at the divert. This is silly. Now I'm standing here. Fan into flame. God didn't give you. The next service will get this last point better. That's all you get. But I want to end with this last scripture. 2 Timothy 2. If you get it, you can stand up while I'm doing this last one. If you get this, if you literally get this, it'll look like this. 2 Timothy 2. 2. It says, basically, here's what it says. It says, because it's 2 verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Remember, in the book Bowling Alone, the world has come down to the goal of self. And if you're living on self, you're going to crack or break. If it's not just, are you in a life group or are you in connect? Are you in something where somebody's accountable to you? It's who are you pouring into? Who are you pouring into? And what gives you the right not to pour into somebody? Nothing. Nothing. There is no scripture. That's all solical. That's all mystical. That's all world initiated. It's all demonic. Every time it's about you, it's demonic. Right. Live with that. Deal with that. But every time you start saying stuff like, I want to submit myself. I want to walk with others. I want to lay my burdens out. I want to be authentic. I want to stay joined. I want to make someone else's life better. Oh, you're starting to talk like Christ. That's how the head talks. That's the end.
What do you do with a message like this?
Well, you can ignore it. Just say something religious about it. Oh, that was good. You know, that had some points. He really put that together. Or you can let an action plan be etched on your heart. It says, I'm not going to be planted in a house and reject the aim and mission of the house at the same time. For you to be safe in the kingdom, you cannot be alone. And if you're alone, after we're offering you to be in life with someone else, well, it's not friendly people. Well, good that the scripture says you don't have to be around friendly people. You just have to show yourself friendly. So you just go up to somebody and say, hey, I'm being in your life. I'm going to be in your life. Look like it's the grace of God on your life. I'm going to be in your life. When is your life group meet? When are you doing stuff? When is it? And don't just pick me. Because that's what y'all do. Because, you know, I'm doing my part. You pick other people that's in the body. They can help you. Okay? And that's not because I don't want to, because I'm already being spirit-led. Ministry team, you can come on down. If I'm doing an altar call, it's going to sound like this. It's not if you're a sinner, come. It's really, if you're not growing at the rate that you should grow, then just maybe you're not connected. And if you think you grew out of the need for connection, you have lied to yourself. You never got that grown. Well, I heard those Bible verses already. Oh, that's juvenile. My challenge is I'm going to dismiss, or I'm going to have Bryson dismiss, and I'm going to walk out, and if you're a first-time guest or visitor, I'm going to be in the guest reception meeting you. But the call, yes, if you're not saved, we want you to get saved. But I challenge you who are not connected to make your way down here and get connected. And don't excuse yourself one more day from that moment. I don't care if it's a line, or it may not be a line because you don't want to be obedient. But somebody in your life that's not really interested in control but safeguarding your life is trying to get you to the right place. I am begging you. I don't get any extra money if you come in heaven or earth. But you might have a life that has an aim and a focus. Closing prayer.